Hello, this is Andre.
And Anita. We talk about parenting, love, and life skills.
Our family of six makes sure we always have something to share. The devil can play rock and roll, can play music at all.
He doesn't want any tone, no melody, no chord. Hello, Andre.
Hello, Anita.
Are you finished playing with your toy?
No.
You're not going to do this.
Opening a can, which led to some very interesting results in our audio studio that we're
using.
Well,
our microphone is a little bit too sensitive.
It's
it really picks up very much.
It's the time of the month, you know. The week.
What are you talking about?
Because when you record by yourself, it's usually okay if we just do it, you know, us two. It's really sensitive.
Oh, it's more sensitive then.
It is.
In a way, it is. I don't know if it has to do with this little thing that you put, like, on the microphone.
The pattern detector.
Yeah, if you record just on your own or if you record together, and therefore, I don't know if it has to do with it or not.
Technical, magical mystery.
Doesn't matter. Today we're going to talk about the book from Kim Brooks.
Oh.
And the book is called Small Animals. Kind of a weird title. I don't even know if it really fits, but she starts by talking about this incident where she had to go catch a flight and she had her two children with her,
mm-hmm.
a baby and a 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And she still had to catch, she had to buy something at Target. She wanted to get some headphones or whatever for the flight because she's really nervous mm-hmm. about flying.
Mm-hmm.
And the 4-year-old didn't want to come into the store. So he wanted to continue playing on his iPad.
Of course.
Okay.
I can totally get that.
He was allowed to do that. Like, she put the children's safety on and everything. It wasn't hot. There was no danger of overheating. And she just went inside with the baby while the 4-year-old was in the car, in the shadow, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of can already imagine what happened later.
Of course, a lot of fingers pointed and a lot of drama surrounding the car and maybe a fireman trying to open the car. Am I going the right direction here?
No, it's not that dramatic, but she actually was even able to drive home, but then she got a phone call because somebody noted like the car.
Well, what's place, this?
Number,
which country did this happen?
America.
In America. Okay.
But I'm still wondering. I mean, these kind of things, they could even start happening here in Germany. Yes.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have already seen certain women looking very skeptically whenever you wouldn't take care of the child as much as they would want us to be, you know, overviewing them. At all times.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole story, that was like the Auslöser, the
star.
It ignited her idea of writing this book because she was so, you know, there was no real danger. There was nothing that could really go wrong. Like, she was only a few meters away from her child.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no bombs or real threats or cliffs. There were no other.
But there was a parking lot.
Dangerous.
I guess.
It was a parking lot. There was nothing like really dangerous going on.
Yeah, but a 4-year-old could climb out of the car, wander around.
It was locked. There was a children's safety in it.
Okay.
He wasn't able to come, like, even to get out of the car.
All right.
What could have happened? And then she's putting like these two different dangers. Like, how is it possible that we're worrying so much about the safety of our children in a situation like that, and then there are so many other situations where there would be real danger
mm-hmm.
In front of our children, and that's something that we don't really care about.
Mm-hmm.
That was the ignition for the book, in a sense.
Okay, this sparked her idea, well, the beginning of a book.
Yeah, and I was thinking about even starting talking about the experience that we have already made, because, like, I would say that we as parents, we are already more laissez-faire.
You mean
what do you
us.
Call us?
You and me.
Yes, mm-hmm. you and me, than other parents, apparently. I mean, this is what I've observed in a sense, you know. Like our boys, they were allowed or they were even obliged to walk to school on, yeah, pretty much like day seven.
Because you practiced beforehand.
We practiced beforehand, but they were still little, in a sense.
Yeah, but there's a overbearing nowadays at times, I think at least. This is where I protect your child until he's, I don't know, 16, and then he doesn't know how to fight for himself, or fight for on his own.
But he shouldn't fight for
himself. Yeah, well, fight, but, you know, live on his own. Everything has always been, you know, pampered with... I'm going to do everything for you, darling. This you can't do with a single child. But for us, it's basically out of necessity. Because it would be a logistical nightmare to drive everyone. And now we've got four kids going to four different places in the morning. How should you manage that? And with a single child, it's maybe easier to, you know, try and protect them.
At all times. Every single second.
As much as you can, because... Well, you've got the time.
And see, actually, I wanted to talk to you about another book beforehand, but I couldn't find the link that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And that was written by a woman who is very much influenced. Like, she is an American, mm-hmm. but she grew up in India until she was, I don't know, 10 or 12. I don't know, like pretty mm-hmm. young when they moved to America. And then at some point she started mixing those philosophies that are Eastern and the Western philosophies together, like the mindfulness practices and the Western how to be efficient, how to be strong philosophies. And she came up with a new view on parenting, where I also thought, this is only possible if you have one child.
Or
maybe like two parents who are also focusing on parenting like all the time.
Yeah.
Because...
What was her view? Like, sum it up in maybe one, 2 points?
Well, you have to anticipate every emotion that your kid might have. Oh. And then think about how you would act appropriately. Hmm. Because sometimes you could overreact, sometimes you could underreact. Sometimes you are supposed to let your child fight its own way. And at other times, you are supposed to carry your child and support it. Mm. It sounded very much like you have to be the kid's therapist at all times. You have to be its guidance.
Best friend and
its,
everything.
Mm. Guru and like everything at the same time in a sense. It sounded very exhausting.
Yeah, stressful. I was going for stressful, but yeah. I mean, you can't do that if you want to be the overachiever of the year, I guess. But then again...
No, if you want to write a book about it.
Oh, write a book. Yeah. I mean, I put it down negatively because I think if you lose yourself, your character, and everything you do in your child, you're probably going to be disappointed and your child might not... It might not be very beneficial to your kid in the long term.
Yeah, well, you can still get disappointed when you have four children and you try to do
things
as we do them. And then we find out, you know what? We've tried many different approaches. Mm. And with some kids, they kind of worked. And with some other kids,
they did not.
Not so much.
Which is okay. You live and learn, I guess. But in the end, you have to define a goal, have a long-term goal for your kid. And ours was, I think we talked about that extensively, but to have them have a strong character, to not be bullied in a way and not be a bully, and to stand up for yourself and for themselves, basically, and that they can determine what they want to become later on.
Oh,
and
by the way,
have them emotionally as strong as possible without depending on us for their emotional strength in a way.
I just heard about this. I'm listening to another podcast where somebody is analyzing the three different dangerous characteristics that every one of us has, but certain people have them much, much more, in a much more unhealthy balance than other people. And one of them is Machiavellianism. You have a narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism.
Wow. I'm not going to repeat that. The last I'm just going to nod along, dear
the
listeners.
The last one can be very, very... No, wait, all of them can be very dangerous and detrimental for your child's development. But
I guess
what he found out, like, because he has he's done many, many...
questionnaires.
Yes, he did them like amongst many people, like many surveys, and he found out that especially when kids have been bullied when they were young, they would develop Machiavellianism.
Can you sum it up in one sentence what that means?
That's how you are starting to manipulate people. You are somebody who is... You don't even care about the feelings of the other person. Like, yes, you do in a sense, but it's always about getting... You want to achieve a goal, and it doesn't matter how you use... You're pretty much using people towards your goals.
Okay.
The problem with it... I mean, of course, if you reach your goals, it might be something positive for you in the moment, but usually these people are also... attracting these kinds of people. They usually don't ever develop healthy relationships, and also even in business relationships they usually attract other Machiavellianism people. And he said that, you know, being bullied, it doesn't always mean that the parents messed up, that they haven't strengthened their child enough. Because in certain environments there is just much more bullying going on, and depending on where your kid comes from, like imagine like a kid from a Amish family, this is like maybe extreme, going to a normal school, he might be very much bullied, even though he can do many, many things that those other classmates are not able to do. Like he is strong in another sense, but because he's so different, he gets bullied.
True.
And especially if a kid is being bullied for a long period of time, his advice was take them out. Like in his past, he would be like, oh, well, bullying, what's the big deal with it? You know, I mean, that's not so bad. And once in a while being bullied, maybe it makes you even stronger. But if you're being bullied for a long period of time, that's going to have an effect on your character long term. And so that's definitely a red flag, and take your kid out of that environment. Sometimes it's necessary.
Okay.
That was a long speech.
Yes, it was. But basically, take your kid out if you see this happening. Okay. Out of the scenario.
Yeah, there can be detrimental effects in the long run. And I think, like in our school, I don't feel like anybody has been really badly bullied for a long period of time.
I don't know. Not very much culture. I think, at least to my knowledge, it wasn't.
Depends.
Culture.
Like the class of our oldest,
yeah.
He has told us about two kids who have been bullied for a long time, and there have been conferences in his school several times. It seems to be like sometimes there is a different atmosphere or different character. Kids from a different background or social class or whatever, when they come together in a certain place all together, probably more bullying is going on there. And we both of us, we have been auf Gymnasien, like some certain type of school, where this was not so much of an issue.
Well, can happen in any class or any, I don't know, combination where characters meet. I don't know which is more prone to bullying, but I mean,
teach if the kids have been bullied by their parents.
Yeah, maybe that as well. And sometimes they've got trouble at home, so they bring the trouble at school, and taking it out on the perceived weak kid helps them dealing with their own issues in a way, or the catharsis or something like that. I don't know. It sounds wrong still. For us, it is important as parents to teach our kids how to deal with that, how to deal with being bullied and talk negatively about, and how to not be a bully themselves. And so far, I think it worked out fine. Right?
I think so. I mean, we know that some of our kids have more problems at school than others. But also we know that they're pretty much accepted. Like, they don't have difficult characteristics or, let's say, they all have friends. They're all capable of finding new friends. Mm. And they can be fair towards each other. But at the same time, let's say one of our kids, he has more problems finding friends because he doesn't feel relatable to anybody else in his school.
He doesn't feel attracted
to anybody else. Like, it's the kind of interests that the boys in his class have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no way. It's a boy, yes, yeah. And
he doesn't share.
And even the girls, like, they're always, you know, they always fall in love with somebody, and they're always talking about each other, like, they're gossiping a lot and
there's
stuff
drama.
Like that. And those kinds of things, he's not into this. There's nothing that he can, you know, click onto and try to relate to. And therefore, I even think, like, as long as he still has some friends from the old good old days, it's fine. Why would you try to connect with kids that are, you know, maybe even more trouble?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, maybe so, yeah.
And he's still not, like, he's not being disrespected.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
And that's an important part for us.
Definitely. So the author says, we manufacture fears to justify moral judgments about about other parents who we believe are inadequate.
What?
Well, I guess this is what is being manufactured when you look at other parents who are not watching their kids 24/7, who are not, who are like us. I mean, we're not judging them because we are those parents.
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe.
And we made a decision to be those parents, though.
Well, I just, like, one thing that has been really interesting to me for a long time already, it's not just, it doesn't even refer only to parenting, but to so many other things as well, where I'm wondering how these trends, I feel as it's a trend. Like, in our childhood, it has not been modern to accompany your child all of the time on the way to school, for example.
Yeah.
Like, how this can become something that almost all the parents are doing now, whilst in our childhood, it would have been weird.
Yes, because the importance of children has been raised a lot.
Dramatically.
To the point where you put him or put her, your kid, on a pedestal, you know?
Pedestal,
that one. And idolize it, her, she, and, you know.
Well, you know, our youngest daughter, she has a friend now. And the mother, I think she was like 39 when she got her child or whatever. Mm. I don't know. Like, she was older and she already knows that there is not going to be any siblings for the kid. And she worries about so many things.
Minor things.
Point of view. Or I just have to say a sentence and she's already judging me. I felt like she's citating some other parenting book. Maybe she should have a parenting podcast. I don't know.
Maybe. How to protect your child from bees.
Nasty parents like us.
Nasty parents, yeah. That let play kids in the dirt. And
She was complaining about those playgrounds where kids were able to play with water without any shadow protecting them.
Okay.
Where they would be in the middle of the sun. Like, that's why she doesn't ever go to those playgrounds.
Yeah.
And her daughter had to ask if she can have a cucumber, if she could eat it, because maybe there is a too far of a time gap between her eating something and then brushing her teeth the next time.
Okay.
And once I told our daughter, like, you know what? You're able, like, you may get your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, you know, you don't have to continue playing here. You can already get your shoes, you know. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, you told her that she may have them. You have to tell her that she doesn't have a choice. She has to get them. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, and I was like,
well,
I cannot win. You're like, everything I'm saying and doing is wrong, apparently, you know?
In her mind, it might be so, and maybe rightfully so. So that's when you listen to her podcast and see what she says about stuff.
I don't think she's ever going to have one, but...
Well, we never know.
Well, yeah, and she's protecting her child.
So the point being that raising your kid shifted from something that came naturally, in a way, and where you didn't think about it too much, maybe too little. In the past,
yeah.
To you really have to study hard, do some exams, and
listen to parenting podcasts.
That's what you're doing right now, and be a pro parent. You know, a professional parent. I don't know. Maybe it's we've been putting too much stuff in our mind. You know, making worry too much. I guess as well.
In a way, we're kind of like being sarcastic in a way, because we're criticizing ourselves as well and what we do, because
a little bit,
yes. I think that's fine, we can do so.
Sure,
we can criticize
you
ourselves.
You can be honest with you,
you know, you Aaron. Don't really need a parenting podcast.
Yeah,
probably
that's true.
Especially if you have a life and maybe you have a job as well, and mm-hmm. maybe you have more than one kid, maybe there's not that much time left for you to worry about every single word that comes out of your mouth, because otherwise you might damage your heart, your kid's heart.
What's it called? The Ursprungsvertrauen.
The
root trust, maybe something like that.
Must be something different.
The root of the trust root or whatever.
There is like a signal word in German, like something that you can always
destroy.
How you can make a
with
really bad conscience in somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, trigger it.
Whatever you say, you're going to destroy that
root
trust.
You destroyed that basic trust. You've destroyed it by saying that.
By talking harshly.
Yeah. Now your kid is destroyed and you're going to have to save up for a therapy later.
Yeah. Also know that therapy is needed for all kids.
At all times.
At all times. For
and
everyone.
For us as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for us as well. Yeah.
We're all damaged.
And thank you for that industry.
Hallelujah. Oh, and then she actually mentions...
back to the author.
To the author.
Mm-hmm.
Poorer mothers are more likely to be at risk of societal judgments about parenting decisions. She found out, like, whenever poorer mothers are neglecting their children or letting them go to school without supervision or whatever, like, whenever they're doing the same thing that she did, they usually would... get a harsher reaction by Jugendamt,
by whatever law enforcement unit,
law enforcement
unit, for kids
than she would have, like
child care.
Yeah, I mean, it even starts by like, what does the car look like? Mm-hmm. What do the kids wear, and how do they look? And maybe there is some more judgment going on because, well, but at the same time. You're also going to have to, I just know about a family with low societal or class condition.
Okay.
And both of the parents are taking drugs, you know.
Okay.
And she's changing partners all of the time. I mean, sometimes some of the prejudices, not all of the time, but sometimes
it's what's called prejudice.
It's worth looking at it, like the prejudice. Like we have this word of cliche. I mean, there's one in English as well. The cliche one.
Cliche works as well.
And a cliche usually it has a reason, because otherwise it wouldn't be a cliche.
Probably.
And therefore, yes,
I'd rather go case by case.
It's not
though.
Just yes. You have to go case by case, definitely. If the car smells like something funny, like something has been smoked in there, yeah, maybe you can have a second look. Otherwise, yeah.
But the point being?
The point being is, yes, it is lower classes are being judged more harshly.
Okay, that's the author's point.
The author's point, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying maybe at some cases, there might be a reason behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with higher classes as well.
I don't know.
There's alcoholics.
Higher classes can just hide it better.
Yeah, yeah. Probably, yeah.
I don't know.
Or they have different problems. They don't have drug problems, but something else like...
Like not spending
anger.
Time with the kid problems.
Yeah, neglecting. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Okay, parents are not giving their children the freedom that they need to have fun and learn how to be adults. How to be adults?
Yeah, I agree with that one. Because here's my theory. We try and try to raise our kids to become responsible, to act like adults real quick. You know, those sitting still in school and listening for someone telling them what to do and whatnot. And whenever they act out, you know, if they want to play, like in a restaurant, you have to go, no, you have to be quiet. You have to be reasonable. And use your logic and whatnot. And I appreciate that we do appreciate the playfulness and the childishness in our boys who are a bit older now. But still, there's something emanating from them that to me seems pure. It's pure childlike behavior that is not tarnished by adults' thought and the adult sense of sarcasm, irony, and maybe even, how to put it in words, he's a grown-up now.
Yeah.
But rather, he can still be enthusiastic about stuff, about things. He can still have fun and you know, be himself.
This childlike spirit.
Yeah, and I would counsel anyone that you would nourish this spirit as long as you can, because it's going to be over at one point or the other, and then it's gone. And for kids to grow up at the age of 10 and be like an adult, you rob them of a good childhood, I'd say.
Okay, I understood the sentence totally differently.
Mm-hmm.
Totally differently, because I thought of parents are supervising their children at all times. They probably wouldn't ask their children to go to the supermarket and buy something, for example, because that would be too unsafe. But if you give them the freedom to do so and to experiment once in a while, like, here's some money, you can get something for your own.
Mm.
You can choose, you know? And you can also choose, like, when to get back home. It just come back home before it's dark, you know. There's some limit, but at the same time, they're free to choose their ways and so on. These are the kinds of things that they also have to learn in order to get to be to become a normal adult who knows what they can do and what they cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I understood
it. Okay, I understood
because
in the sense
there are so many kids that that cannot even do those kinds of basic things. And
yeah.
In a way, I don't feel like our kids are that self-sufficient yet, or as much as they could be, should be, or whatever.
Yeah, but again, back to the being a child and having a protected childhood, that goes along. And of course, they should, you know, be able to tie their shoes. And here it comes, you can send them on errands, and they can buy stuff from the store, and they come back with the order that you gave them.
Yes.
So, you know?
If I... Tell the big one.
If you tell the big one, of course. But that's why he is our firstborn, and, you know, he carries all the responsibilities.
Yeah.
And maybe our second
is... We'll have to take care of the others.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
So maybe this is his role in life, to take care of us.
That's your toll.
Maybe. But, yeah, maybe I understood the sentence wrong, but this is still a valid point that I'd like to make, because
you can connect both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, you connect both of them. But I think that's really important, that you give your kid a good childhood and not expect him to grow up too soon. Because once childhood is gone, it's gone. And then there's no looking back. And the purity and maybe the innocence as well that I do appreciate is gone too.
You know, just one thing that kind of worries me at times.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know if I should be proud of it or be worried about it, because... I feel like, except for the youngest who doesn't talk about this yet, but the other three, all of them have at one time or another said something to the meaning of, I don't want to become a grown up. I want to stay a child, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I never felt like. I never thought I want to stay a child. I don't want to become a grown up. Like,
because your childhood didn't rock as much, to be honest, honey.
Did you feel like that? Did you always wanted to be a child?
No, I just enjoyed my childhood.
You did. And have you ever felt like I don't want to become a grown up?
No. Because I enjoyed it up until I got, I don't know, 19 or 18, basically.
Okay, and then it started to become badly?
Yeah, then it turned out not so
well
in a way. But up until then, you know, everything was peachy. Naja, well, not really, but most of the time.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm just wondering, do we make it more hard for kids? If it is too nice, you know?
No. I know. If you ask our oldest this same question, I think he'd give you a different answer.
Yeah?
Hmm? He'd give you a different answer. Because I'm putting out the benefits of being an adult slowly but steadily. Because our second one is asking, why are you allowed to play computer games even after, you know, 8 o'clock? I say, well, I'm an adult. I bought a home. And if you want to move out and have your own flat or apartment or whatever, yeah. you can decide on your own. And it's all up to you.
Yeah, of course.
And nobody is going to ask for you to make any points. You just have to earn money to get there.
Yeah, okay. See, maybe this is just going to have to grow on them. Still, I feel the world is developing in a way that doesn't really prepare kids for adulthood efficiently, in a sense, because reality might not be as nice all the time. Like, there might be some interruptions in the future.
True.
And we are being so, you know, cuddled and pampered all the time.
I don't know. I mean, there are certain realities that hit you more as an adult, but there are things they have to learn for themselves as well. We weren't all prepared. We had to figure out things for ourselves as well.
Yeah, but this is exactly what I wanted to say, because the biggest shock that I got was when we had our firstborn. And it was no fun. Nothing in my whole life. And I didn't have like this pampered childhood as others had it, mm-hmm. you know, and that was not... I feel like in my generation or our generation, whatever, it was more harsh than it is nowadays. Like, it was a little bit more harsh, not that mm-hmm. much, but still, I felt like nothing prepared me for motherhood. There was nothing coming close to it.
Then again, you moved out at the age of 20, right? Or 21.
21.
So, how would your parents prepare you for motherhood in any capacity?
Well, I don't know. Like, if we would have been slaves, we could have...
All right. Back to reality, honey. I mean, this could go some places. I don't know if we want to go there, though. Maybe it's fun.
I don't know. But like, if they would have woken us up, like... every third night, three times in a row, whatever, and yelled at us.
Okay, and then you'd be prepared for motherhood.
I don't know. Like, the most shocking thing for me, like, I can remember those thoughts so well still, mm-hmm. because they were shocking for me. Mm-hmm. It felt like I don't have a life for my own anymore. Like, a big part of me died at that moment, because I could not even decide when to go to the toilet. There was... nothing that I could further decide on my own anymore, any longer. There was this little baby deciding my life,
That's why
it would be screaming at all times. Like, I would put so much effort into it, you know? Mm. And what would I get as a thank you?
Screaming. And then again, only 14 years later.
I should have gone to the army. Maybe. That would have been it.
Yeah, not the same thing.
But
well, there are, firstly, 14 years later, he turned out really well. So all your effort was not in vain. Secondly.
Stop. Now, I kind of have to intervene because, our child, he was he was not as other children. Like, having a baby is always difficult. Ours was even more difficult because we had one of those screaming children. There is some, you can, there is a diagnosis for it, whatever, I don't know. Like, he was screaming quite a bit, like much more than usual children.
10 months.
Which we didn't know at that time. So it didn't feel like we were prepared at all. But then at the same time, I feel like there are so many young adults who are not even equipped to have a marriage that holds up, mm-hmm. even without children. Mm-hmm. Your friend is a great example, mm-hmm. who has had this dream wedding, you know, this awesome mm-hmm. wedding. And his whole marriage lasted 1 year.
Less than a year.
So, you know, if they cannot even withstand that kind of a stressor, how do you... I mean, I also know about many single moms who split when the kids were very young. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have to wonder why, because it can be very stressful, which we have experienced as well.
Yeah, I sent you an article today about that topic, and the article just suggests that if you're expecting kids, take 1.5 years off of your life until you can start to breathe again and function as a normal couple. And in that time, talk about stuff, you know, talk about expectations, but know that a lot of things are on hold for this period.
Yeah. Yeah.
And go into pregnancy knowing that. I guess we didn't know. A lot of other people didn't know. And that's what causes a lot of
friction. Something you don't really talk about, right?
No, nobody talks about it. But you can prepare your kids for that. You can give them a doll that does baby-like behavior, wakes them up at 3, you know, and simulate everything. There are toys that do that.
I know.
I don't know why you would put your kids through that. But it could be a fun thing. No. And we would talk about it on the podcast. Would be another topic.
Yeah.
And this is how our 10-year-old handles being a mother.
Oh my gosh. Just,
I don't know. But it could go maybe.
This is something we would have to give them mm-hmm. as soon as they have a girlfriend
mm-hmm.
and they start kissing, you know? And as soon as we catch them doing that, they get that doll mm-hmm. and they're going to be punished by it for at least a year.
We could do that.
I think that's a good idea.
We could do that.
And then we talk about this whole, you know,
byproduct and protection mm-hmm. and how anti-pregnancy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could definitely do that.
Yes.
Mom, I have a girlfriend now. Well, here's your fake baby. Welcome to the club. Mom, I broke up with
her. We're not going to take care of it. If you make her pregnant, this is what you're going to have to deal with.
This is great parenting
advice.
And
we also have to get them ready. It might be a screaming kid, you know, like the genes and so on.
Maybe there's some special software that you can make.
The most difficult one.
Yes.
That's the one we're going to have to ask for.
That's going to be fun. But Mom, you know, I didn't want this for my birthday. I said, well, you're getting it anyway.
No,
this could be so much fun.
We are actually disqualified for being parenting podcasters.
Yeah, maybe yes. But
oh no. And you actually you told some other colleagues that we have this podcast?
Yes, of course.
And they're not gonna listen to this, hopefully.
We never know, but I think it's good advice. Put your kid through. This is what your action could result in.
And then give him
a flyer of true love.
During the day, they're going to have to work as well, you know? Because they're going to have to earn their living as well, you know?
Yeah.
And then they get a tent in the backyard. That's where they're going to sleep.
Well, I think this is taking it too far. But the baby thing, that would definitely be
that's
yes.
level zero, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to understand that as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a higher level to
that's a good point.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, to how to create responsibility for your own action. This is the result of, yay, it's so much fun having a girlfriend, yay. But it's not so much fun. Well, we'll definitely come back to that as soon as we hear the stories of, I have a girlfriend now. We're still waiting for that. I'm still pretty happy that our old is kind of nah, not interested.
That he's not you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad about that too.
Exactly. Yeah. That's good to know.
I'm still furious at your parents in a sense because
they didn't give me a doll.
First of all, and they always talk about it with pride, and I'm like, what's wrong with you?
That's because, but what's I was a socially likable boy, you know.
Yeah, and then they're like, yeah, impregnate everybody. That's great. Well, hey, no, we applaud it. That's awesome.
No, not everybody. I'm serious. I was not that bad.
You started with 9? No, earlier?
No.
Being like in love with everyone and everything?
Yeah, but that's more, I was more interested in girls than other boys. So, yeah.
Still weird. You're a weirdo. Gonna have to look at you
well,
like that.
Honey, honey, I have to remind you. I have to remind you. I was just weird enough for you.
See, and I didn't get interested in the other sex when I was like it started with when I was 18, 19 or whatever.
Good for you.
And before that, they were like
good for you,
because
honey,
annoying.
True love waits, right?
I don't know. Is it something I should be proud of?
No,
or
but I take away from this episode. I really take away that we will, as soon as we hear those words, "Mom, I have," or "Dad, I have a girlfriend now," we're gonna buy that doll. That's a given.
Can they run around with a heavy sack on
their
belly?
Go to school with that thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing a doll to class? Because I have a girlfriend.
Because otherwise it's going to scream.
And my parents made me do it. So much fun. So much fun. I mean, this is why kids are really a lot of fun. Because the stuff you can do to them. And of course, every kid needs therapy anyway. So, you know, feel free to try things out.
Okay, I think not even Aaron is gonna listen to this.
No,
yeah,
I think Aaron is
like,
having fun.
Oh dear, this is horrible. They should not have a microphone. Okay, I think this is enough.
This
like we cannot top this.
Okay,
in
yeah.
any way.
Yeah, we cracked the keg and now it's drinking time. So thank you for listening.
Yes,
it has been a pleasure as always, honey. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Cheers and have a good night, Aaron.
Bye.
Bye.